You ask for it and you shall receive. Another March Madness bracket. But this time we're going greatest IC champ of all time. Stay tuned and listen. Round one on the Wrestling Guys podcast. And that starts right now. All right, all right. Coming to you from the Forgotten Borough, Staten Island, New York. This is the Wrestling Guys podcast. This is the fans' perspective of all things in the world of professional wrestling and the world of WWE. I just said that backwards, but it's okay. We are your host. I'm Eric, otherwise known as Fizz. With me, as always, my tag team partner. We call him the Diamond Stud. He's Chris Never Miss. Greatest IC champ of all time. The bracket is happening. March Madness has returned. But you know, we don't start nothing. I lacked last week without the clink. Here it is. There it is for you out there. We're back in honor of the March Madness. This is going to be great. I'm excited for this.
The last time we did this was for the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. So definitely check that out if you haven't. And I got to tell you, it is hard to make these brackets. You know, there's people that we had to leave out because there's 68 seeds, but there's been more Intercontinental. I think there's 80 Intercontinental champions and all.
Yeah, some people had to go, unfortunately.
Yeah, some people had to go. But even placing them in the seats, it was tough. And I could tell right away, this is going to be, I think, harder than the greatest WrestleMania match one that we did.
This is more subjective.
Yeah.
Because you could throw a bunch of stuff out. You could throw a total number of days, total number of defenses, total number of reigns, quality of matches, or if you just like the guy in general with the belt, or, you know, if it goes by personal preference of what type of Intercontinental title you even like, you know, like something like that. There's so many things you could go into. And I don't think, like, I don't know about how you're feeling, but I'm going in with a very wide open criteria.
I think you kind of have to.
Right. I'm not going to just narrow it down to a couple of things. I think I'm going to factor in as much as possible.
Yeah.
Without trying to be like I personally probably have my own top five Intercontinental champions of all time, but I don't know if that'll factor in. I'm not trying to have a bias going in, if you catch my drift here.
It also may not happen based on how we've seeded it here. Mm-hmm. Maybe one of your top fives will be gone.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I mean, this is great. We were talking about Scott Hall last week. If you didn't catch that, go back to the archives. Scott Hall tribute. And we were like, let's do another March Madness. You came up with that. We were like, let's do greatest IC champ of all time. For the record, if I had to pick a favorite title of all time, not just based on look, just in general, the Intercontinental title is my favorite title of all time, because to me, as it was seen like in the business, if you talk to the veterans, it was always the workman's title. To me, when we were growing up, when we were kids, Intercontinental championship matches were always the best matches on the card. I'll pull receipts if anybody wants to go back and talk about it, but it's very, very true. Even going through modern day attitude era, I know people have said in more recent years the IC title has taken like a backseat to a bunch of other things and really treat it as great as they used to. I kind of agree on that a little bit, but I still love it. Just like in WCW, my favorites were the United States title and the TV title, because they were always the best matches on the card. The heavyweight title matches were always kind of crap. Not saying the heavyweight title matches in WWE were, but if you wanted the best match of the night, it was usually for the Intercontinental title.
I mean, that's, that's 100% true. A lot of the names on this, on the long list of Intercontinental champions, you know, we like to use a kind of saying, you know, who's the best wrestler to never be world champion? A lot of those names are on this list as former Intercontinental champions. And you can see why. You know, they were considered some of the best workers. You know, they always put on quality matches. Which version of the Intercontinental title was your favorite?
Oh, mine is I don't want to call it the classic, but the one from the 90s, and that was brought back by Cody Rhodes in the 2010s. My favorite version. I actually own that version with the white strap that Cody brought back. That is my all-time favorite. I think it's the best looking one. It's fantastic.
I agree.
I would say the more recent one that just came out when Nakamura was champion and Sami Zayn swapped it out, I enjoy that title a great deal. I think it needs to add more color to it. It's a little bit too just black and gold.
I think for me, I just have to get used to it.
I would say my least favorite is the Attitude Era.
The purple one?
Yeah, I mean, it grew on me over time. It wasn't terrible, but to go from that prestigious, beautiful belt and then swap that out for that purple strap, I was just like, what is this? You know, maybe that's what it is. I had a little, I'm more nostalgic than anything. But yes, that is my absolute all-time favorite for sure. I love that one.
Nah, mine too. Before we get into it, WWE released a new docuseries called Evil. Have you had a chance to take a look at any of it yet?
I got the update this morning from Peacock that said all new series out. I've seen the trailers for it. Looks pretty cool. You know, talking about villains and the stories behind the villains and how Paul Heyman's like the villains always the more interesting, which is we all know if you're a movie fan also, right? Villains always the more interesting in the story regardless. But they're interviewing like Sasha Banks and all these like all-time great villains, Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman being, you know, the greatest probably heel manager, or one of the greatest heel managers of all time. Now I have not. Have you seen the new episode?
So I watched the Hogan and the Ric Flair episodes.
Okay.
And they were good, but it's also stuff that obviously we all know, and it's been documented, you know, over and over again. I think it's interesting to add episodes of The Miz, Sasha Banks, and Roman Reigns, because to me, their runs aren't over. You know, I'm not the biggest Sasha Banks fan. So to suggest that she would get her own episode suggesting that she's one of the greatest heels of all time, I don't see that at all. So I it's an interesting choice, interesting choices they made for episodes. But the Hogan and the Flair one, I mean, they were done well. It was just all kind of retelling the same stories.
I was hoping they would do to take a different, like, what makes a good villain a villain, kind of go into the psyche behind being a heel, like, as opposed to Hogan was down on his luck and everyone hated him, so he went heel. And oh, okay, great. We've seen
that
before.
That's pretty much exactly what it was.
Yeah, see, like that's what I'm not looking forward to. Like, because from the trailer, it makes it seem like even with the so I enjoy that Sasha Banks got one. She is a very, very good. She is a very, very good heel. But yeah, like you said, her run isn't over. So her being like the goat of all women heels is still out to the jury. You know, like, you know, it's up for debate. But I've seen her in some really great matches, like some making Izzy the super fan cry. Like when I saw that in the trailer, and it's like, you know, Sasha Banks would make a kid cry, you know, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Cause I thought they were kind of going the way they presented is like, we're going into like the psyche of what it takes to be a villain, like flipping that switch. But if they're just giving you another documentary style type that it's like Hogan was the third man and then he joined the form the NWO, then all right, then you're not really drawing me in now.
Maybe, you know? maybe the other episodes go into that.
Right.
But the Hogan and Flair one didn't really.
All right. I mean, we'll see. I'll definitely check him out for sure. I'll give him a shot. I will say, though, before we get into this, I know we got a long thing ahead of us, but how big, and I don't know if you are, but I am right now, how big of a fan are you of this Seth Rollins build to WrestleMania? Even with no Cody, I think Seth Rollins is carrying it on his own and is doing a fantastic job. I know a lot of people are critical because they're not seeing Cody yet, so you're not getting too much of a build, but I think the way that Seth is handling it every week is outstanding. And even if we don't see Cody to WrestleMania, that'd be perfectly fine because he's doing such a good job.
Yeah, I mean, Seth is awesome. I think it's great what he's doing because we all know what the outcome is.
Right.
Like, it's hard not to think that Cody Rhodes is going to come out and be his opponent at WrestleMania. So the fact that Seth Rollins can still make it interesting and fun just speaks to his talent. And that he, as of right now, if he's not number one, we've said Roman Reigns is number one. Seth is probably number two in that
company. Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say 100%. Fans are behind him. He's like over now. You know, like he's been popular and fans have liked him, but I think he's like over officially. Like you could say like Seth Rollins is over. Right. You know what I mean? And on top of that, I think Kevin Owens is crushing it. I know people criticized it because MJF came out to CM Punk's music, but what during their feud, I don't give a shit. You know what it is. It's entertaining. He's doing a great job, right? He's selling the shit out of it before Mania because you know we're not seeing Austin before Mania.
Yeah.
All right. So
he's CM Punk is not Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Thank you. Thank you. Because he ain't moving the needle. Sorry.
Right. Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is. So, and he's not. He's not no Stone Cold. But I see what they're saying. They're trying to say, like, you know, WWE's copying AEW. That shit's been done a million times before. The Miz did it with them when The Rock was hosting WrestleMania. DX did it for Nation of Domination and then did it again for Shane and Vince. Happens all the time. This is not, wrestling repeats constantly. You know, imitation is happening constantly. Like, let's stop with that shit. You know what I mean?
And if anyone says that AEW does not in any way copy WWE, they're not watching. They're not paying attention.
No, they're not. They're fanboys. That's what it is. I think they're both doing a great job. I think they're selling it great. I think I'm really looking forward to those particular segments. So good that they're considering main eventing the KO show for night one. I mean, that's pretty incredible. I mean, granted, Stone Cold is going to be on there. And on top of that, Edge and AJ really doing a great job. I love how they continue the Edge AJ storyline within the Seth Rollins match on Monday and still kept Seth Rollins going for his thing. So they did multiple, which is we haven't seen this in a minute.
Yeah.
Multiple storylines in a match that are continuing to Mania. And I was like, who the fuck wrote this and where have you been for, you know, I don't know, a year? I don't know, 2 years, whatever. It was a great match, first of all, if you saw it. Really, really good match. And then the build is Edge takes out AJ with a chair, but at the same time gets him Seth disqualified, so he still loses, so he still doesn't have a Mania match. But Edge and the AJ feud still goes. So it was like, oh, that's awesome. There was layers there. There was storytelling there. And I'm like, this needs to happen every week. Like, what is yeah. going on here? Like, who's this guy? Give this guy a raise. I think this past Raw I thought was very, very good in terms of building to Mania. I don't know. I'm actually looking forward to Mania this year. I think they have a couple of storylines that are really, really solid going in.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week. I had said that the card is a little weak and there's not a whole lot to look forward to. But the stuff that is worth looking forward to, I think, will deliver. And that's Edge, AJ, the return of Stone Cold, whatever that looks like. I know it's going to be the KO show, but there might be something a little bit more there too. Mm-hmm. And then the return of Cody Rhodes, it came out that he officially signed his deal.
Yeah.
So that's
a performer / producer. That's what the role's looking like right now from what I read.
All right. And apparently there's some other things to come too, some other surprises in store. If you believe what you read, I hope it does deliver. I'll say that.
Same. I really does too. And I think you've caught the Becky Lynch promo on Monday. She killed it.
Yeah. I mean, Becky Lynch. Yeah. I know I said Roman and Seth 1 and 2, but Becky Lynch is with Roman.
She might be
Becky Lynch is 1B.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely the top star as far as the women goes. And that includes Charlotte and Ronda Rousey. Becky Lynch is the top female star that they have.
No, without a doubt. I'm surprised they're doing both women's title matches on the same night, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's a little strange. You should save one for one night, one for the other. But I saw today that there's been some moving around, so maybe it'll get moved. But who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. All right, we've been prattling on enough. Without further ado, you came up with the brackets. You sent me the pictures the other night. I see we left off some people. So why don't you give us the before we start, the rundown of how you included who you included in these. So I see here we have the four eras like we did with the last one. We have Golden Era, Attitude Era, Ruthless Aggression, and Modern Day, as we did last year. But how did you insert these guys, and how did you do it in terms of seeding? I see you gave four people a first-round bye. So hook us up. Fill us in right now. Go ahead.
All right, so for anybody who watches college basketball, the NCAA tournament expanded to 68 teams, right? So when people, and not just us, but there's a whole bunch of different social media personalities, radio. If you listen to Michael Kay's show, they do their own version of March Madness. Everybody does one. And if you follow the NCAA version, you have 68 seats. So that's what I did. I stuck to that. There have been, I think, at least 80 Intercontinental champions in all. But what I did was break it down to four brackets, just like in the NCAA tournament, there are four regions. And we have, as you said, the Golden Era, which is a mix of the WWWF and the Hogan Era, and also the New Generation Era. So all kind of three of those mixed in one. Then we have the Attitude Era, the Ruthless Aggression Era, and then the Modern Era, whatever it's called. I don't even know what it's called right now. The Reality Era, I like to refer it to
people
it as.
People call it the PG Era, but the I hate
PG
that.
Era. Yeah, I kind of don't like that either, but whatever.
You know, PG Era, but whatever.
For example, the Golden Era will feature wrestlers from that era. I'm going to be using that word a lot, I think. And the way that I seeded it is 17 seeds in each bracket. I seeded it based on combined total reigns and also longest reigns, which means that there were people left off that probably be controversial picks. Some of my favorite wrestlers of all time are actually left off of here. So, for example, in the Golden Era, I won't give the people who are actually in the tournament yet. We'll go through that. But the people that I left off were Rowdy Roddy Piper, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, the British Bulldog, one of my top five favorite wrestlers of all time, Wildman Mark Merrow, Marty Jannetty, the Mountie, and Dean Douglas. Now, the reason for that is because out of everyone that is in the tournament, they had the shortest reigns and also had one reign each. So they had to be left off. And the same goes for Ruthless Aggression. We had to leave just one wrestler out. The Modern Era, we left a bunch out, but we'll get to those too.
All right. I mean, so we good? So right off the bat, we're going to start Golden Era. We're going to go Golden Era here. We'll start with the originals.
We're going to go Golden Era, yeah. And okay. The number one seed in each bracket gets a first round bye because 17 is an uneven number.
Yes.
So I carefully chose who should get the bye for each bracket, for each era. And in the Golden Era, the bye goes to the first ever Intercontinental Champion, Pat Patterson.
That makes sense. Rest in peace, Pat. But first ever.
Yeah.
I got it. I mean, we're with it right now. So that's the number one seed. He's already moving on. We'll discuss him probably next week. Let's get into it. Go ahead. Our first matchup. And feel free to skip around. I don't care. Let's get crazy. It doesn't matter to me. We go in order. Whatever. Let's do it.
We can skip around, go in order. So let's go the number two seed and the number three seed. So Big Daddy Cool Diesel against Pedro Morales.
I think this is very easy for me, though.
It's easy for the both of us because, I mean, Pedro Morales is a legend. There's no doubt about it. He held all three titles. He was a WWF champion. He was the Intercontinental champion. He was a tag champ. A lot of that happened before me and you were born. So yeah. The only thing we have to go on is archival footage. You know, we can obviously watch his matches on Peacock, but we lived through Diesel. We saw his reign. We saw that when they put the Intercontinental title on him, it meant something to us because we knew that Diesel was going to be one of their top guys and was one of their top guys. Yeah, it's easy that this is Diesel for me.
Really? Okay, so I'm going to go. I thought it was easy for me to go Pedro Morales.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now I'll tell you why. Because I feel like Diesel's Intercontinental title reign was a means to an end. It was a mean to get him over to see how well he did to eventually just give him the world title. So that's true. Like his Intercontinental title reign kind of didn't really mean much because he got it. Then he immediately won the tag titles with Shawn Michaels, and then he lost it at SummerSlam. And then him and Michaels didn't even lose the belts, and then they just put the title right on him. So I think it was just to see how he would fare as a singles wrestler to eventually put the world title on him. So to me, it didn't mean as much as to a Pedro Morales who held it for a long time. He went from that world to that Intercontinental title level, and his was more significant than Diesel's run. So that's why I said Pedro Morales, not going to lie.
All right. I mean, you make a good point, so I have no problem going with Pedro Morales here. I think just from my point of view.
I see what you're saying, though. Yeah, witnessing it and everything? Witnessing, yeah, I got you. Yeah.
So we'll say that Pedro Morales moves on over Diesel. I was a big Diesel fan, too.
I enjoyed Diesel. I did. Yeah. I like that, especially when the minute they paired up with Shawn, it was like magic, honestly.
All right, so let's go all the way down. We're going to bounce around. The number 16 seed, the Macho Man Randy Savage. And the number 17 seed, the Texas Tornado Kerry Von Erich. Now,
oh, go ahead.
This is an easy one, I think, unless you surprise me again. But this is easily Macho Man. Kerry Von Erich is a legend in wrestling. When he came to the WWF, finally, he was just not the same guy.
No, he was not. Yeah.
They gave him an IC title run. He beat Mr. Perfect, SummerSlam 90. It was a decent match. But the reign didn't – it lasted about, I think, somewhere over 60 days, maybe a little bit longer than that, until Mr. Perfect just got it right back.
Right.
He did have some title defenses. Kerry Von Erich's going to be one of those guys that, yeah, he was a big star in WCCW in the 80s, but when he got to the WWF, where they thought that maybe he could be one of their top guys, he wasn't the same guy. He had a lot of personal issues going on. Obviously, we know how his life ended. And I really, really like Kerry Von Erich. Again, most of his fame came before my time, but watching his stuff from the past, I really liked him. And I wish he could have done more, but I mean, you got to go with Randy Savage here.
Yeah, for me, this wasn't world-class Kerry Von Erich, NWA champion Kerry Von Erich. He clearly had his demons at the time, so he wasn't really doing it. And like, they gave him the belt, and they realized quickly, it was like, not a thing going to work when put it back on perfect. Whereas Randy Savage had a very, very lengthy reign, although it was only one reign.
Yeah, it was very long. And
then it culminated in probably the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. So it's Randy Savage, hands down here for me as well. Unfortunate. I thought, you know, and I'm with you too, Kerry Von Erich, in terms of you wish you would have gotten, because I've seen, you know, especially if you watch that, those, the world class documentary from WWE, and you watch some of those matches, you're like, damn, I wish we could have gotten that guy, the modern day warrior, Kerry Von Erich, as opposed to the Texas Tornado. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. Number four versus number five, Ravishing Rick Rude versus The Rock, Don Morocco.
Okay, Don Morocco. Again, a guy probably before our time with a lot of success, most famously the cage match with Jimmy Snuka that made Bully Ray and Cactus Jack, Mick Foley, and huge Tom fans, all right, that they were there in person. For me, Rick Rude, I absolutely love Rick Rude. I'm a huge fan of Rick Rude. It just everything, the persona, everything, beating Warrior at Mania for it, and then having that feud with Warrior, and then eventually him beating him for the IC title when Warrior goes to win the world title. They build off of that to get him a world title feud. I'm going Rick Rude here. I'm a huge fan. I don't know where you stand, but based off of, I want to say quality and quality of feuds and what the title meant in that feud, I'm going Rick Rude.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Rick Rude here also, because I think with Rick Rude, this was his one and only title in the WWE.
Yeah.
And he's another one of those guys that, I mean, we know he went to WCW and he had more success there. He was the United States champion. He held a version of the world title there. But this was his one and only reign as a champion. And it was a lengthy one. He beat the Ultimate Warrior, lost it back to the Ultimate Warrior. When it comes to Don Morocco, I know he's another legend, but again, a legend before my time. So I'm going to go Rick Rude here as well.
You know what, though? I think Rick Rude is like one of the definitions of like stud mid-card worker.
Yeah.
Because even when he went to WCW, he had a fantastic U.S. title match with Sting and held that U.S. title for a long time.
Yep.
He's just one of those guys, like, you want that good work, you want that good heel work in the mid-card for IC, US, whatever. Rick Rude decided in there. Forget it.
Now, here's one that I think can bring up a lot of debate. Number 14 seed, the Honky Tonk Man, the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time, versus the number 15 seed, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. And as a three-time Intercontinental Champion, only lost it once. This is a tough one, I think.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Honky Tonk Man is still the longest reigning Intercontinental
to this day,
Champion.
454 days.
That's crazy. I thought Cody Rhodes was going to beat it way back when he was doing that whole gimmick, when he brought back the belt. I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to beat the streak. I thought he had the rocket strapped to him. However, right? Take away that longest title reign ever. Name me something memorable about that title reign.
When Ultimate Warrior beat him.
That's it.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Like, good feud, anything, nothing. Whereas Shawn Michaels, yes, he's only been beaten once. Once he got stripped, and it was like the steroid thing, whatever he was on at that time, when he walked away from the company, people thought he was going to quit. But off the bat, Razor Ramon ladder match, WrestleMania 10. The feud with Marty Jannetty was really, really solid.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's two good feuds right off the bat for you. He main evented a Survivor Series with Bret Hart, where it was champion versus champion, another underrated, awesome match. All right. Beating British Bulldog for the belt. I can name better matches off the top of my head than I can for Honky Tonk Reign's entire longest reigning IC champ thing ever. I'm going Shawn Michaels here because that's all Honky Tonk Man has.
Honky Tonk Man did have a rivalry with Randy Savage when they turned Savage face. Right before Savage would become world champion. And It's actually been, if you listen to Bruce Pritchard's podcast, he talked about it as well. Savage was actually supposed to beat Honky Tonk Man for the IC title, but Honky Tonk Man decided that he wasn't dropping it. And that's one thing that led into Randy becoming world champion.
Right.
So Randy Savage was supposed to be a two-time IC champ. Honky Tonk Man said no. But they did have a heated rivalry for it. But I agree. I go Shawn Michaels here.
A lot of his thing, I mean, classic heel moves, though. But, like, he would never really lose a match. He would get himself DQ'd or counted out. You know, typical heel shit back in the day.
Right.
But, like, again, besides that, I really, you can't name anything else. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, we're good. You know? Shawn Michaels, on the other hand, different story. All right, let's go. Let's do it.
All right, here's the next one. Number 6 seed, Bret the Hitman Hart. Number 7, Ken Patera. Now, here's the thing. There's probably going to be a little bit of a theme here. Ken Patera is another one of those guys that was famous before our time. So, I mean, for me, it's easily Bret Hart. It almost sounds biased because we've eliminated so far 3 guys from what would be considered the WWF, or at least the end when they dropped one of the W's. But it's hard to kind of go for those guys when I lived through Bret Hart.
And absolutely.
Bret Hart, obviously him beating Mr. Perfect for the IC title was a great match. Huge moment for Bret. He had that great match against the Bulldog. He had a great match against Roddy Piper at WrestleMania 8. Bret Hart brought a certain level of prestige to that title that not everyone else did.
Yes, absolutely. And it showed for Bret Hart, like, he could go off on his own. He started defending the belt regularly. You know, he had a classic match with Roddy Piper at WrestleMania 8, classic against British Bulldog at SummerSlam, classic at SummerSlam 91 to win the title against Mr. Perfect. So I could name more matches than that. And this is not knocking Ken Patera.
Right.
But even ask the experts about Ken Patera, and they'll just be like, yeah, he was there. He was a nice guy. He wasn't the greatest wrestler ever. And I think it's one of those, you know, he fits the mold of what everyone else says that Vince McMahon loves. I don't know what Vince McMahon, you know, I don't know him personally, so that's a difference for me. But I think for me, Bret Hart is the clear runaway winner here.
Number 12 seed, as we bounce around again, Razor Ramon, the bad guy, versus Greg the Hammer Valentine.
I was never a huge Greg the Hammer Valentine fan, I got to be honest.
I mean, the guy is a legend. And
absolutely.
A lot of his run, we were actually, we witnessed, because I don't think he retired until like the mid-90s.
Yeah.
But during his heyday, he was one of the best in the business. He was a big star in the NWA. He had that match against Roddy Piper at Starrcade, I think, 83.
Right.
And he was a Intercontinental Champion, obviously, because he's on here. He beat Tito Santana, lost it back to Tito. I mean, I got to go Razor here. And not just because he recently passed away, but Razor was also the first guy, I think, to win it 3-4 times. I think he's ultimately a 4-time IC champ.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had done that before him. And that's because even though he probably could have been the world champion, they knew that he could carry that IC title because he was a huge star.
Absolutely. He was the IC title division in the 90s. Right. He was that guy. He was
the face. He was the standard to it.
The one thing I will give Greg Valentine is that when he lost to Santana, he's responsible for getting our more modern Intercontinental title introduced, because he had, like, he was so mad that he lost it, he destroyed it in like a steel cage match or something like that.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, it was like that green strap and
plate. But that was like pre-planned all along, because they wanted something else. They wanted to usher in a new title. So I'll give him that. Right. But again, it was a 285-day reign, but it wasn't in that 285. Like, and I know this was a different day, but, like, you know, he feuded with the Junkyard Dog, yes, and lost it back to Santana. It wasn't like a huge thing. He wasn't having these solid heel matches or feuds and doing all these things, you know. At the time, I think he would have like the 5th longest reign of all time. It was like 285 days. But again, nothing really memorable. That's where I'm going here. I think this is one of my, like I said, I was going to have like a wide open kind of spectrum here when it came to like criteria, but like in that 285, and I know this is a different era with traveling and everything like that, but you still had, you know, some TV. He really didn't have long feuds or anything like that. He just had the belt for the sake of having the belt because he was the heel. You know what I mean? So Razor is just the obvious choice here for me. I'm sorry.
All right. So we both agree Razor Ramon moves on. Next, we have, speaking of, Tito Santana.
Chico.
Against Mr. Perfect.
This is, okay. Personal bias aside, you can make the argument that Mr. Perfect is probably the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. The quality of matches, the people that he put over in losing the title, Kerry Von Erich, Bret Hart, just the things that he used to do. He's just a fantastic wrestler. On the flip side, though, not taking away nothing from Tito Santana. Fantastic wrestler, probably ahead of his time.
Yep.
He's from a different era. You know, we've witnessed, you know, we were more for the, I mean, I remember him and Strikeforce breaking up and all that stuff, but we were more for the El Matador era. El Matador. Tito Santana. But for me, Mr. Perfect wins very handedly in this because for me, quality of matches, quality of feuds, feuding with Hulk Hogan as he's the world champion while he's the Intercontinental champion, that's it for me. I think, you know, again, you can make the argument if we ranked top five Intercontinental champions right now, Mr. Perfect's probably in that top five.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with all that. It's, with all due respect to Tito Santana, it's kind of an easy choice there. All right, and last but not least in the Golden Era bracket, Ultimate Warrior against Goldust.
I think this might be one of the most difficult ones here because prevailing theories would be like, oh, it's Ultimate Warrior. He ended Honky Tonk Man's streak, right? He had a good reign with it. He lost it to Rude, had a great feud with Rude, won it back. And then he won the title as the IC champ in WrestleMania 6. Okay. However, Goldust, man, Dustin Rhodes, he beats Razor Ramon for it. How many times did he have it, if I'm correct? Was it three or four times?
Three times. Yeah, three
times. Right. And granted, at this time where we're at, he's feuding with Roddy Piper, WrestleMania 12. Wasn't for the belt, you know, but then I believe it or not, did he not defend the IC title against Warrior when he returned in like 96?
It was
like his like third run, Warrior's run is at this point. Yeah, I know he did Savio Vega. Ultimate Warrior, I think, was part of that, no?
He was. But the match wasn't what it could have been because Goldust was actually injured.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then he eventually loses it to Ahmed Johnson.
He lost it to Ahmed, yeah.
All I'm saying is I'm not ruling out Goldust here. I'm going Ultimate Warrior because he ended the Honky Tonk streak, winning the belt at winning the world titles at the same time being the IC champ. A pretty good feud with Rude in between. Based off of that, it's very close. I'm going Ultimate Warrior.
I'm going Ultimate Warrior as well. You know, he had two reigns. They were both long, and they put the world title on him without ever taking the IC title off of him, other than just making it vacant. All right, excellent. So that does it for the Golden Era. So next up, we have the Attitude Era. And obviously, we are all very familiar with the Attitude Era. I had to, again, this one includes a bye, first round bye. That goes to The Rock. And I had to include someone who was a part of the era. However, he was not IC champion during the era. And that is Ahmed Johnson. We talked about him just a second ago beating Goldust in 96. But I had to include him here because the brackets wouldn't have matched up with everything else. But I put him up against China. So let's look at that one right now. So the 16 seed China, 17 seed Ahmed Johnson.
For me, China's the first woman ever hold the IC title. And Ahmed Johnson didn't do anything with the IC title. He got it, and then he got injured.
Yeah.
Couldn't do much with it. At least China had two separate reigns with it. So I'm actually going to go China here based off of that alone. It's not even because she's the first woman ever hold it. She actually defended the belt several times, and Ahmed Johnson pretty much did it.
Yeah, I agree. I think we got to go China here. Even, you know, when she won it, it was a big moment. The Good Housekeeping match against Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah,
she had that feud with Chris Jericho that made Jericho a star in the WWE. Speaking of Jericho, He's the number 3 seed going up against number 2 seed Test. Now, this is an easy one. Test didn't have the Intercontinental title for a long time, only like 13 days. He beat Edge and then lost it to Edge. And Chris Jericho is a 9-time Intercontinental champion.
Still the most ever?
Yes, actually. Yes.
Off of that, right away, Jericho is moving on here. Jericho can make the argument for actually being the 1 seed here based off of that alone. But yeah. Again, quality of feuds. He had the feud with China when she was IC champ. The matches with Benoit, the matches with Eddie, the matches with Ray. I mean, I could go on for days with Jericho. I mean, it's Jericho a heavy favorite to break out of this bracket, if you ask me. Jericho moves on for sure. No question.
All right. Next up, number 4, Double J, Jeff Jarrett. And number 5, Road Dogg. I give this one to Jeff Jarrett. I remember watching that Raw when Road Dogg won the Intercontinental title. And he had that one defense at WrestleMania 15 in the Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah.
And then lost it the next night to Goldust, actually. But Jeff Jarrett's, we mentioned a minute ago, his match against China. He's the one who dropped the IC title to China. He was another one, just like Razor Ramon, right? He would never get to that world title level, but they always put the IC title on him because he was relevant. And he could carry that belt. He always had, you know, good matches. So I think for me, it's easily Jeff Jarrett here.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff Jarrett was a quality IC champion. Like you said, yeah, always threw the belt on him because he was always a solid heel. He could always get somebody over. And he always had a good match. Decent to good. Great. We're bordering on great, but really good matches. Road Dogg, yeah, he just had that one. He had the one reign. He defended in that one WrestleMania where there was literally no singles matches. And I thought I could have put money that he was going to lose. He ended up winning. And for him, it's a one and done, you know?
Yeah, it was one and done. And Jeff Jarrett is an IC champ in 2 different eras. He could have been a part of the first bracket because he beat Razor Ramon for his first title reign.
Absolutely, yeah.
And lost it to Shawn Michaels.
The irony doesn't dawn on me that you put Jeff Jarrett against the roadie here.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, so way to go for that one. That was good. Jeff Jarrett gets his revenge on the roadie and he moves on.
Bouncing around here, number 14 seed Val Venus and number 15 Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Hello, ladies. Not to shit on Val Venus's reign here. I think he actually had a couple of good ones. When he was teamed up with Trish, he got a little more serious.
Yeah, that one was better than the first one.
Right. I think that was a little better, but at the same time, nothing of note. You get what I'm saying? Like it was better. Nothing really of note. Stone Cold had the feud with The Rock that carried it a good length of the way. The feud with Owen Hart getting dropped on his head. Mm-hmm. And granted, if you really go back at Stone Cold's Intercontinental title reigns, really nothing of note either, if you want to be honest. But the only thing is that he had better matches and he had better feuds. He had the feud with Owen. Unfortunately, he had the injury at the time, so he had to give it up. But then that led into the thing with The Rock. But then that great match with him at the Generation X where he stunned D'Lo Brown on top of the pickup truck.
Yep.
And then had to give it up. He's similar to Diesel, where if he didn't get the injury, he probably would have had a better reign. But his second reign was a means to see, okay, he's world title material.
Yeah.
But based off of those matches alone, I think Stone Cold moves from Val Venus.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, here comes another pretty easy one. I think number 6 seed Triple H, and number 7 seed Rikishi.
Yeah, we're clearly going Rikishi here, right? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Rikishi, again, nothing of note. He was the champion, but nothing of quality, feud of quality. Triple H, you got the Mark Merrill feud to kick it off when he first won the belt. The Goldust feud kicking it off with Rocky Maivia. Mm-hmm. That eventually, when the tables are turned, now The Rock is the Intercontinental champion of that great match at SummerSlam. And the ladder match that was unfortunately cut short his reign because of the knee injury. But then winning it back as part of the two-man power trip, with Stone Cold Steve Austin, with Stone Cold was the world champion and everything. I think Triple H here was always a quality Intercontinental champion. Yeah, definitely moves on here.
Absolutely. Okay. Number 12 seed, Ken Shamrock. And number 13, The Godfather.
Ooh. I think for me, I'm going Ken. A better reign. Godfather, for me, when he won this belt, it was like, oh, it's about time he won something because he was so popular at the time.
Yeah.
Giving him the belt, it wasn't about the work rate. It was about the popularity for him. So it wasn't really about the feuds and everything like that. You know what I mean? Whereas Ken Shamrock was having some baller-ass matches. Ken Shamrock is another guy that you could make the argument of, like, one of the best guys in WWE to not have a world title run. And then when you hear from, like, JR and those guys, how he, you know, his attitude at the time, showing up late here and there, he wasn't reliable. Makes sense because he didn't, you know, obviously we don't know that shit. But I think Ken Shamrock, in the long run, needs to move on because he was a better champion.
I agree. But is there something to be said for how popular the Godfather was, and that's why they gave him the IC title?
Oh, he was fucking huge. Yeah. Huge. Every Monday, the hoes come out, Godfather comes out. But then when we're talking about the grand scope of things, yes, he was super over at the time. Absolutely. But then he wins that belt, and then it was just like another – it was like almost adding a gold chain to his neck. It really wasn't anything of note.
It was a prop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why I'm going Ken here.
All right. So Ken Shamrock moving on. All right. 8 seed versus 9 seed. Chris Benoit versus D'Lo Brown. Now, I hate to be a Debbie Downer here, but it is hard to talk anything Chris Benoit related. D'Lo Brown, I was a big fan of D'Lo.
I love D'Lo Brown.
D'Lo Brown was awesome. But his IC title reign was very short. There wasn't really much behind it other than really just to give it back to Jeff Jarrett. When Benoit won the IC title at WrestleMania 16, WrestleMania 2000, it meant something. He had a few reigns. I think he was like a 4-time champ. And he had great matches for it. He had a great match against Jericho, ladder match at Royal Rumble.
Fantastic match.
2001, I think. Yeah, great match. Again, it's difficult for me to talk about, but I think he does move on here.
We're talking about the in-ring work. We're not talking about anything else. We're strictly talking about his reign as Intercontinental Champ and his matches. I agree with you, Benoit, for sure. The feud with Jericho alone, I think, advanced him automatically. Again, D'Lo Brown, he was a means to an end. He was like transitional almost to get it back on Jeff. You know, but yeah, I think Benoit here, hands down, for sure.
All right, so here's an interesting one. The last one of the first round for the Attitude Era. Owen Hart versus Kurt Angle.
I know where I'm going here. I don't know how you feel, but I'm going Owen Hart. I think Owen Hart in his two reigns, he was a solid IC champ. He had the nice feud with Stone Cold. Wins it back again, you know, for that second reign, it was more about getting the title back on to Stone Cold as soon as he healed up. Kurt Angle has the reign. At the time, he was like, the whole gimmick was being the Eurocontinental champion. Yeah. And like, that was cool. But then he loses it at Mania.
WrestleMania, like a month later.
Yeah, it was just like, it was just to have the two belts going into Mania, and then nothing really came of it after that. So I think Owen Hart has, based off the Stone Cold feud, overall, just work rate in general. I'm going Owen.
Yeah, I think this is almost a toss-up because I don't think Owen Hart ever defended the IC title except for against Austin at SummerSlam. And then Austin got the injury, and they put it back on Owen in the tournament, only for Owen to just drop it at Survivor Series back to Austin the next month.
Right.
So their reigns are kind of comparable here as far as, you know, it is a toss-up of which reign mattered more. I think Owen, because of his feud with Austin.
I would say this. So he beats Rocky Maivia to win the IC belt, right?
Yeah.
And at the time, he's in the midst of the Hart Foundation has like every WWF title except for the world title at the time. So that meant something. You know what I mean? But then they end up losing the tag team titles to Austin and Shawn Michaels, whatever. Anyway, whatever bullshit. Fine. And then he got it, and then he lost it at Montreal back to him. But I think in the grand scheme of things, when you look at the total thing, the storyline that got him to that title was better than I'm the Eurocontinental champion, in my opinion.
Ruthless Aggression Era. So there was only one person to leave out during this era, and that's Lance Storm. I was a fan of Lance Storm, and I remember he was the first guy to do the invasion from WCW. I remember when he super kicked. Now I don't remember who it was on Raw when he came out, and I was like, oh, shit.
That's right. Yeah, he was the first guy.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit, it's starting. Now, we can all say what we want about the whole invasion angle, but when he kicked it off, when he ran out, and I was like, oh shit, it's happening. And they put the IC title on him because he was liked, he was a good worker, and he dropped it to Edge only a few weeks later at SummerSlam. So his reign wasn't long enough to put him in here. Randy Orton receives a bye in the first round.
That's a no-brainer. He dominated in this era as the IC champion.
He had a great run as the Intercontinental Champion. So he gets the bye. Crazy to think he only had it one time.
But that one reign enough, I think, could break him through to a Final Four a bit. I'm not going to lie.
No, I think so.
The quality of feuds, the quality of matches that he had on the regular RVD, Mick Foley, Shelton Benjamin, that reign is one of the greatest reigns of all time.
So let's get into the rest of the tournament here. So number 2 seed Jeff Hardy, number 3 seed Billy Gunn.
Is it the one Billy Gunn? Jeff Hardy for me here. Jeff Hardy, solid Intercontinental Champion through and through. Another guy with his great matches. I remember a great Intercontinental ladder match against Johnny Nitro, John Morrison, on Raw. Fantastic match. That alone, Billy Gunn, again, great. You have the title. Tell me something of note that he did when he was that champion. Couldn't really name it for you. Jeff Hardy, for me, is the winner here.
Jeff Hardy had a great feud with someone who is actually going to be, we're going to debate in our next matchup here. Umaga.
Yes.
As Umaga goes up against Eddie Guerrero, the late, great Eddie Guerrero. Umaga was actually a good Intercontinental Champion because of his feud with Jeff Hardy. They had really good matches. Eddie Guerrero is Eddie Guerrero. Eddie Guerrero is a two-time Intercontinental Champion. But if you want to like look at relevance, I think Eddie should have done more with the IC title than he did. This is bad because
it's like if you pass up Eddie Guerrero, it's like the hell's
wrong. It feels like we're doing something wrong.
It does. But I will say this. If you talk to anybody or you listen to anybody's interviews, Umaga was a great worker.
He was.
And they loved Umaga. And I thought Umaga was fantastic too. He had the title, but then losing it to Santino Marella on that Raw. To get over Santino, but then it didn't work. But then they give it right back to him. I don't know. And then they tried him going face for a bit, and then he went back to heel.
Yeah.
I think a couple of things. That Jeff Hardy thing does put him over. The Battle of the Billionaires makes him even further as a great worker. However, yes, I would say that. Yeah, like Eddie Guerrero's feuds of note. What do we got there?
Like feuds for the IC title, they're just not there.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So you know what, dude? I'm gonna go Umaga for the upset. That's it.
I might have to agree. Wow, big upset. Let us know what you think about that.
Definitely. At Wrestling Guys PC, you got a problem? Come at us. Pull receipts. Let's know. Let's have a discussion.
All right, moving on to another interesting one. The number 4 seed, Shelton Benjamin. And the number 5 seed, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
I'm going Shelton Benjamin here. Better reigns, better feuds, better matches. Flair, admittedly, is a little bit older at this point. But I did like when he won that, when he had that little reign as IC champ. I think Shelton overall, in this era, not in life and not all time, in this era as IC champ only, is Shelton Benjamin is better.
I think I would go Ric Flair.
Because
I remember when he beat Carlito for it, and it was a big deal because the aura surrounding Ric Flair, Evolution had broken up. Triple H, I think, was out with an injury. Ric Flair was on his own. And it was, where does Ric Flair stand at that time, today's generation? How does he remain relevant? And they did it by having him win the Intercontinental title. And he had a long reign with it, too. He actually defended it against Triple H in a feud that they had and lost it to Shelton Benjamin, the guy he's up against right now. And I just think his run, to me, it felt like it meant something because it was honoring Ric Flair and letting everyone, including himself, know that he still meant something. So I think I would edge it to him. But Shelton Benjamin is what, a 3-time IC champ? He had it a few times.
All right, so this is what we'll do. You said Ric Flair had it once, yes, right? Mm-hmm. Am I correct on that? All right, so let's do, as the tiebreaker, total number of days on their first reign. Let's look that up.
Okay.
All right, I'll look up Shelton Benjamin. Actually, I'm going to go, I don't even know why I did that. I'm just going to look up Intercontinental Championship. That's so much easier. Shows how much I know. Fan, what a mark. If I'm going to Shelton Benjamin, his first reign is 244 days.
Wow, I didn't know it was that long.
Right, because he beats Jericho at Taboo Tuesday. That's his first reign. Mm-hmm. Right, 244 days. Ric Flair, 155.
Wow, okay. So Shelton wins it on that.
And then Shelton won it back for him, actually.
Yep, he's the one who beat Flair to win it back. All right. Moving on, here's one that's kind of interesting. William Regal against Carlito. I'm going Carlito here.
Really?
Carlito debuted winning the Intercontinental title. Oh, no, actually, he debuted winning the U.S. title.
Right.
When he debuted on Raw, it was winning the Intercontinental title.
He shanked John Cena in the club. Or he had his boy shank John Cena in the club. I know I was going to leave bias out of this, but I just recently listened to William Regal's interview on Talk is Jericho, and it just made me love William Regal so much more than I already did. That being said, yeah, I'm going to go Carlito too. But Regal is fantastic, not to be outdone by anybody. He's going to go down as one of the greatest wrestlers ever, and probably another guy, one of the greatest to ever hold the world title.
Number 60, Rob Van Dam. Number 70, JBL.
Oof. I'm going to go RVD here, man.
Yeah, it's RVD. I mean, JBL's reign wasn't long. He also lost it in like 6 seconds to Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, that's true. At WrestleMania, I forgot about that. RVD also won the IC title while he still had Money in the Bank at one point.
Yep, yeah.
So, yeah, going there. I think it's a good idea.
And RVD beat William Regal for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania and just had better matches for it, better feuds for it. Number 12 seed, Edge versus number 13, Kane.
For me, this is Edge, hands down. Edge, better reigns, better feuds here and there, not all the way through. Kane, when he won the title, I feel like it was just like, hey, we put the IC title on Kane, look at us.
Right.
And it wasn't anything of significance to be like, oh, hey, you know, like he's doing these great feuds, he's having these great matches. It wasn't really that at the time, you know, and I remember he lost it. Was it the first reign losing it to Triple H? So he beat Jericho for it.
Well, he beat Triple H for it to win it the first time. He lost it to Albert.
So that alone. So you're talking, that's right. No, he beat Triple H, a 37-day reign. I'm looking it up now. He lost it to Albert. And then his second reign, he beat Jericho for it. And he only held it for 20 days before he lost to Triple H again. Right. That's when they unified the belts at the time. So, yeah, Kane's nothing of note there. Edge a lot better in this case. Yeah, I'll give it to Edge. I'm going to give the Edge to Edge. You see what I mean? Oh,
Bazinga.
How you doing? Bazinga.
So, here's a little trivia note for those who might not know. Edge's first reign actually came in 1999 when he beat Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, so one day. It was at a house show.
Yep.
And then he lost it back to him at, was it Fully Breakdown?
Fully Loaded, 99.
Is it? Wait, yeah. Let me look that up. Hold your horses. House show? Yes, Fully Loaded. You are right. Why did I think it was Breakdown?
Breakdown was 98.
Was it? Oh, wow. Yeah. One night. And well, he won it in Toronto, so that makes sense.
Yep.
Won his hometown. Is that the debut of Christian? No.
No, the Brood had already broken up.
Oh, so he just won it for the one night only, and then... Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Breakdown is the debut of Christian. That's what it is. Okay.
All right, moving on. We have John Morrison against Albert.
Yuck.
Yeah, I'm already penciling.
John Morrison. This is John Morrison here, man.
John Morrison.
Like I said, if you guys have not seen that match, look up John Morrison, Jeff Hardy, IC title match from Raw. I can't, man.
It was a steel cage match, I think.
Wasn't a ladder match? It was a ladder match. I remember John Morrison.
Steel cage.
Doing a drop kick off the top of the ladder to Jeff, who was also on the top of the ladder. And I'm like, these guys are dead.
I got to look up that match again. I got to watch it.
It's a good ass match. It really is. Let me, Let me see if I can find that. That was that's a fantastic match.
John Morrison slash Johnny Nitro.
Yes. At the time, I think he was Nitro.
Yeah, he was Johnny Nitro.
We got Ring of Honor. We got, there we go. Here we go. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. See, I'm trying to get the date here, but I can't. Let's go. Hardy versus Nitro. Yep. Ladder match. Boom. You got 2016. There is a steel cage match. Jeff Hardy versus Nitro. There is a steel cage match for sure. Johnny Nitro, Jeff Hardy, ladder match for the IC title from 2006, November 20th, 2006.
All right, so Morrison moves on, and the final matchup in the first round of Ruthless Aggression is Christian and Booker T.
Booker.
Now, Booker T is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. However, I remember when he beat Christian for it, and I was super excited, and then he got injured and had to give it up right away. And they put it right back on Christian. So Booker T's reign is only like 10 days. Christian had it a bunch of times. When they brought the IC title back after they unified it, they put it on Christian. I think Christian gets this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go Christian here for sure.
And him and Edge, him and Edge had great matches for it too.
Oh, absolutely. He actually beat Edge for it at one point, did he not? He did,
yeah. And then they had a ladder match against each other.
I wish he would be doing something more on Dynamite or AEW in general.
Yeah. All right, moving on to our fourth and final bracket is the modern era. Now, here's who we left out of the tournament rounds. Ryback, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Roman Reigns, Ezekiel Jackson, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Braun Strowman, The Big Show, Luke Harper, Ricochet, and Zack Ryder. Now, there's some names in there that are, I know people would be like, what the hell? The reasons they're left out is, like I said before, their reigns were too short. CM Punk had a very short reign. Daniel Bryan had a short one. Ricochet is the current champion, so it's kind of hard to include him in it right now. And even Roman Reigns, his reign wasn't really that long compared to everyone who is in the tournament. So that's why we left them out.
Yeah, I mean, Roman Reigns was a 63-day reign before losing it back to The Miz. He beat Miz at Extreme Rules. I think the only one of note, I would say Ryback had, as much as I don't like Ryback, he had it for 112 days. Again, but nothing of note at all in that reign whatsoever. He even got the rub from Daniel Bryan. It's like, yeah, he's going to be a great champion and all this other crap, blah, blah, blah. Did nothing with it. Ezekiel Jackson at one point was a double champion, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
A double champion.
Was he not ECW champion at the same time he was IC champion? Or no, am I wrong there?
No, maybe he beat Wade Barrett after the core broke up.
Yes, you're right. Okay, so I take that back. Bobby Lashley had a pretty good reign, but again, another one that was very, very short. It was 34 days, lost to Finn Balor, won it back 27 days, lost it back to Finn Balor at WrestleMania 35. But CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan, unfortunately, had to drop it because of injury, because he wanted to throw a million headbutts in the two matches that – in the ladder match and in the match that he defended it against. I'll say, well, that's still a bunch of concussions. That's great. Braun Strowman, another one. 37-day reign. Big show, nothing to note. Luke Harper, who I loved. Luke Harper, a.k.a. Brody Lee, rest in peace. But it was to get Dolph Ziggler over in the Survivor Series match, and then he ends up winning back at TLC. Ricochet's still fairly new. We don't know what's going to happen with that, right? And I think he's at, 20-plus days still? So it still remains to be seen. And Zack Ryder was a one-day reign, so that's very easy to be like, nah, son. Right. Good Mania win, but nah.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, so let's get into the tournament. So The Miz gets the first round bye, 8-time Intercontinental Champion. You mentioned Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley's actually in the tournament, so let's just go right to his matchup as he is up against Cody Rhodes.
I'm going Cody here.
Yeah.
Cody, for me, in this particular, when he's this, I'm going to go the second reign as IC, not the second reign, the first. When he brought back the vintage IC title that we know and love with the white strap.
Yep.
I thought for sure in that reign, the way they had set up the storyline and the way everything was going for him, I thought for sure he was going to beat Honky Tonk Man's reign as 454. And then eventually he ends up losing it to Big Show at WrestleMania, which I thought was such a mistake because he won it right back the next month. I thought Cody had the better reign. He was cutting dynamite, not to turn a phrase here, dynamite, but he was cutting really, really good promos at the time as well. And he was having really good matches. And I thought he was going to be an awesome Intercontinental champion. And then he just took his legs out from under him by losing to Big Show. I thought it was so stupid. But Cody, yeah.
Yep, it's Cody. Cody's moving on. All right, now let's go to the top. Wade Barrett and AJ Styles.
Ooh, okay.
Now, before we go any further, AJ Styles didn't have a long reign. But he's AJ Styles, which is why I put him in here.
The tournament final against Daniel Bryan at the Performance Center for the vacant IC title was dope.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a good match. However, that's really it. It was Jeff Hardy 74 days later or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. But that's because Sami Zayn had left and they were doing that whole thing with Sami Zayn. Is he champion? Is he not champion? And stuff like that. And then he had that nice match with him and Jeff Hardy in that ladder match. He was like, and then Sami Zayn ended up winning it again. However, here, I love Wade Barrett. I don't know how you feel about Wade Barrett. I absolutely loved Wade Barrett. I loved Bad News Barrett. I thought he was a solid Intercontinental champion on every one of his reigns. Were the feuds as great as they should have been? Probably not, but they were still solid. And I know it's AJ Styles and was like, what the hell are you doing? But I'm going Wade Barrett here.
Yeah, I think Wade Barrett gets the nod because I feel like he did a little bit more with it than AJ Styles did. As great as AJ is, I think for AJ it was more of just, let's give it to him so it's just another notch on his belt.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wade Barrett did more with it. All right, so moving on, let's go to the bottom of the bracket. Number 16 seed, Seth Rollins, and number 17 seed, Sami Zayn.
Ooh, that is, oof. So here's the thing. I absolutely love what Sami Zayn's doing. I think he's really, really great, right? But he had it for a while. He defended it at Mania. I thought it was a really good match. And then he didn't want to wrestle because of the COVID-19 pandemic, which is understandable. Right. Then he had it for what? He won it against AJ and Jeff in that match, and then he lost it to Big E. Mm-hmm. Big E had his little run, and then he's just recently won it back, but then lost it right back against a Ricochet.
Yeah.
There wasn't really anything of note there. And, of course, like life got in the way in terms of the pandemic. Whereas Seth Rollins had a really good feud with Dolph Ziggler. Some say it went on for too long. Those people is me. It went on for way too long. But they were really good. It was a good match against The Miz to win it. It was a good match.
And that triple threat.
Yeah. Yes, at the one at Mania, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then the Iron Man match where the crowd was just like shitting all over it, which was terrible. And then he finally wins it back at SummerSlam in Brooklyn where he brought back Dean Ambrose, John Moxley. Mm-hmm. I dug it. I like his reign better. I'm going to go Seth Rollins for the win.
And I agree. Seth Rollins, again, I just feel like did more with that title than Sami Zayn did. All right, so let's move on to Shinsuke Nakamura, the number 4 seed, and the number 5 seed, Finn Balor. Now, Finn Balor also had not a short reign, but I wanted to put him in it over everyone else that we left out. Shinsuke Nakamura, I feel like both of these guys, as much as I love both, did close to nothing with their IC title runs.
Yeah, I would agree. And the funny thing is that when Finn beat Lashley at WrestleMania, he had it for 98 days. But then Nakamura beats it for him, and he holds it for 201 days.
Right.
Can you name me one solid feud or defense in that 201 days of him being Intercontinental champion?
I honestly can't.
No, and I can't either. And then he wins it from Apollo Crews, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has a 182-day reign up until recently when he lost it to Zayn, right? Can you tell me a significant title defense or feud from that reign?
I can't.
And granted, towards the end, he got hurt. and stuff like that. And then he won that whole King Nakamura thing, so he was going back and forth with Corbin. But I can't tell you a significant reign or title defense from either. Whereas Finn Balor did have that decent feud with Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
That led to a WrestleMania match where the Demon came back and everything like that. And it ends up losing it at the Extreme Rules kickoff. Okay, fine. For me, based off of that alone, that you had it so many, like that number of days, and I could not tell you a significant feud from those reigns, I'm going Finn Balor.
Yeah, I'm going Finn Balor too. And again, I love both guys, but I'll keep saying it. Finn Balor did more with it in his not short reign, but not as long as Nakamura's combined reign. And Nakamura, you can't really discuss anything he did with it.
No, you can't. And that sucks. I hate that.
Number 14 seed Dean Ambrose and number 15 seed Drew McIntyre.
And now we're not talking about the Drew McIntyre you know and love now.
No, we're talking about the chosen one, skinny Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, 161 days on the reign there. Dean Ambrose takes it from KO in a very good match at, what was that, TLC?
I think so, yeah.
Right? It was only a 64-day reign before losing it back to KO. And then he beats The Miz for it. That's his longest reign. That's 152, and he becomes exclusive to the Raw brand at that time. And then his third reign was only 29 days before losing it to Lashley. I don't know here. I'm going to go Dean Ambrose. McIntyre with the only one reign by the time he is involved in a big storyline. But I think in terms of quality, Dean Ambrose did a lot more with it. He had that great feud with KO in the first reign. He had those few matches with The Miz. He had really good title defenses in between there. And then he had the really good feud with Seth when he turned on him after the Shield that some people hate, but I thought it was really good. He ends up beating Seth for the IC title then too. So I'm going to go Dean Ambrose here.
Second that. So Dean Ambrose will move on. All right, let's go. Number 6 seed, Dolph Ziggler, one of your favorites. Number 7 seed, Apollo Crews.
Oh, there's a no-brainer. Dolph is clearly the runaway winner here. I think Dolph has had multiple reigns that are very, very good, anchored by extremely good matches. Right off the bat here, there is a great match at No Mercy. It should have been the main event, but it wasn't, between Dolph Ziggler and The Miz. It is such a good match, so underrated. Go watch that right now. I'm talking No Mercy from 2016 when they split. It was a title versus career match. Dolph Ziggler's career versus Miz, he's the champion. Such a good match. Go watch that. A good match when he lost it to Luke Harper. He wins in a tables at TLC, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. That's such a good match. The quality of matches, Dolph Ziggler takes the cake alone. Apollo Crews finally gets his just due. He wins it at WrestleMania. He has a pretty good reign with it. Was like 150? Am I right? No, I'm sorry. 120. 124. A Nigerian drum fight, which no drums were used in that fight whatsoever. But okay, I digress. And now he's back to essentially being a jobber for Omos. But I'm going Dolph Ziggler here.
Yeah, I'm going Dolph Ziggler. I mean, I'm an Apollo Crews fan, and I hope that they do more with him in the future. Dolph Ziggler is that gatekeeper guy. Right, like he's kind of the measuring stick for up and comers, for new guys. I mean, look at what he's doing now. He's the NXT champion in a rivalry with Bron Breakker as a way to see where Bron Breakker is at so he can move up to the main roster.
How crazy is that we're talking about this a year later with NXT and all of a sudden Dolph Ziggler is the NXT champion? How crazy is that, by the
way? Yeah, but Dolph, I mean, he was always someone that if you knew he was in a match, it was going to be good. And especially if it was an IC title match. Dolph Ziggler easily moves on there. All right, next up, number 10 seed Kofi Kingston, number 11 seed Kevin Owens.
This is a little difficult here. My initial thing is to go with Kofi. Length of reigns, quality of matches, Kofi could do no wrong. He's never, believe it or not, from what I'm looking here in my research, I don't think he's ever had a reign in the triple digits. It's always been like about 60 or more days here and there. Kevin Owens, same thing.
Yeah,
I'm going Kofi. This is probably the biggest toss-up here. I think I'm leaning towards Kofi Kingston.
This one is a toss-up.
I'm going to go Kofi because, so he beats, he ends Drew McIntyre's reign, the chosen one, okay? Has a nice feud with Ziggler before dropping it to Barrett, all right? He goes back a few years later, again taking it from The Miz, and then he has a couple of more reigns here. But, like, this is, like, quality of matches alone, Kofi, but, I mean, there's not taking anything away from KO. So KO beats Ryback for the belt, Night of Champions. It's 84 days. He gets it from Dean Ambrose at 48. And then loses it to Zack Ryder at WrestleMania in that ladder match. And that's really the end of his run there, too. It's two runs as IC champ to Kofi's three. I'm leaning Kofi Kingston here. This one was probably the hardest one, I think, so far.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's not wrong to go with Kofi Kingston. It's a toss-up. But I'm going to say Kofi also. Kofi is going to move on. And our final matchup, Big E and Rey Mysterio.
Oof. This might be another hard one, dude. Wow.
I'm gonna go Rey Mysterio. Now, Rey is one of my favorites of all time. So there might be a little bit of bias here, but I think when you compare the reigns, Rey Mysterio did more with it. He had a great rivalry with Chris Jericho over the IC title.
With the mask. That was fantastic.
He had that rivalry with Dolph Ziggler. I feel like his reign was more meaningful than Big E's.
So Big E, okay, that I'll lean towards the mask versus title match with Mysterio at the and Jericho at the Bash was great. But the thing where he did the 619 and Jericho rips the mask off, like that timing, mm-hmm. Oh my god, that's so good. Which was really good. Big E, when he was Big E Langston, if you remember, beats Curtis Axel. He ends Curtis Axel's 155 reign. He has it for 167 before losing to Bad News Barrett. I mean, that reign, again, nothing of note. I know, remember the crowd just turning on him when he was that champion. They just wanted him to lose. I know for a while, I thought it was Dean Ambrose that was going to beat him. And then this more recent one, what is it, 110 days? He was SmackDown champion before losing to Apollo Crews and WrestleMania last year. That was a better reign than the first one. Yeah. Better matches, better things. But I think overall, yeah, Rey Mysterio takes the cake here. I think he moves on for sure. No, not knocking Big E, but Rey Mysterio is the slight advantage.
So that does it. I do want to quickly point out that as we were doing this, I realized that we left two people out completely. Santino Marella and Curtis Axel, but they wouldn't have moved on anyway. So yeah, so the second round is set, and it's gonna be a difficult one. Obviously, as we go on, it's gonna be harder and harder. But I want to point one thing out: the modern era is the era for the Intercontinental Championship that they did the least with. We can point out feuds as we did and matches, but the meaning of the IC title in the modern era does not hold up to all the other eras.
I gotta agree here. I do. It's crazy when we think about, if we go back to even Attitude Era, Golden Era, Ruthless Aggression, I could be like, yeah, this feud was great and this match was great. The fact that we had a matchup where both guys were like, what did they do during their reign, is significant. You can't have an over 200 day reign and not have one significant feud in that reign. And Nakamura did it twice. Yeah, a 200 day reign over 100 day reign. And I can't tell you one significant feud that was like, okay, you'd be like, oh, you're ruining Nakamura. No, it's bad. It's bad. Whoever is in charge of this stuff is just not giving the IC title the due that it needs to have. Yeah, I mean, even like guys like Lashley in this modern era. And like, you know, like a few years ago, you're talking 2015, 2016, Ziggler, Miz, those guys. Yes, absolutely. Rollins. Yes, had some really good stuff with it. KO. Absolutely. But the fact that we're saying like even AJ Styles in his reign, what's of note? He had that great tournament final with Bryan, but then, you know, he had a few matches with Riddle to get him over, introduce him to the main roster, and then he loses it to Jeff Hardy. You know, Sami Zayn for me could probably be that guy that sparks it up again. This Intercontinental, I love that Ricochet's the champion right now. He's actually getting his just due. But him and Zayn as a feud for the IC title, I think, is money. I think they're really missing out. Once he gets over this Johnny Knoxville shit, I think if they go Zayn and Ricochet at WrestleMania Backlash, I think that's money in the bank, dude. Like, literally. Like, that's the way Zayn could cut a promo, the way Ricochet can move in the ring alone is probably is money. And you could probably spark up the IC title picture or the division based off of that. If they actually are willing to put time into it, though, let me not get that twisted either. You know what I mean?
Well, they should be. They should be willing to put time into it. And I think we've forgotten how good of a wrestler Sami Zayn is over the last couple of years because of his gimmick and what they've been doing with him.
The gimmick is great. It does. But he could also move in the ring, too.
Right.
Let's not get that twisted either. So NXT TakeOver Dallas, Nakamura Zayn.
Yeah.
One of the best matches I've ever seen. That's all I'm going to say about that.
And I think they have a real opportunity to make Ricochet, make his run meaningful just by quality. Quality of matches, quality opponents. Make it mean something again. You know, don't just... The modern era, there's too much... There's too many trade-offs. Too many meaningless transitions. Too many meaningless reigns. The Intercontinental title deserves more than that.
Well, here's the thing. You give Ricochet the Intercontinental title before Mania. Why not do Zayn Ricochet in the ring with Johnny Knoxville in his corner and then have Ricochet win that title at Mania? It would have meant so much more.
Right.
You know, giving it to him on a random SmackDown, giving Finn Balor the U.S. title on a random Raw before you can even build to a match at Mania. Like, I don't get why they do that stuff. I get you're trying to pop a rating. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not in the business. I can't tell you why they do the shit that they do. Again, you're right. What we forget how good Sami Zayn is as a performer. And I think Ricochet, I hope that he doesn't drop it after like 30 days to somebody randomly on SmackDown. I hope they give him a quality reign. I'll say it before I say it again. Ricochet is the best high flyer I've seen since Rey Mysterio. The best high flyer I've seen since Rey Mysterio. I'm talking about the shit in Lucha Underground as Prince Puma, the stuff we've seen in New Japan, the stuff we're seeing now. He's fantastic. The fact that we haven't strapped a rocket to this man and elevated him even more than what he is now. I mean, I'm glad he's getting his due now, but like, we took this long to get there is bullshit. Him, Nakamura, Sami Zayn, even Happy Corbin, those guys could anchor that IC title for years to come. I don't know why they're not taking those guys and they're assigning like a rider or two and be like, yo, you're in charge of the IC title picture. This is a division. Make that shit work. You have 20 minutes every week on Raw or SmackDown. Make that shit work. Do feuds, do matches, build to something at a pay-per-view. Go. That's it.
And think about what they've lost on purpose because they released a bunch of talent. Mm-hmm. Think about all they've released that could be contributing to both the Intercontinental and the United States divisions and having fantastic feuds and matches over those two belts. Aleister Black, Malakai Black. Adam Cole. Like, imagine Adam Cole. We saw Adam Cole versus Ricochet for the North American title. Imagine Adam Cole versus Ricochet for the Intercontinental title. Imagine Aleister Black going after it. Imagine,
absolutely,
you know, Kyle O'Reilly going after it. Like, it would have meant something.
On the flip side of that, right? And I agree with you on that 100%. I have actually a question for you once we wrap this up about Adam Cole and AEW that I wanted to poke because I had it in my head for a while. But think about the guys they have right now. Besides the guys they released, and I agree with you now, but think about the guys they have right now. Guys like Nakamura, even Rick Boogs. You have a Happy Corbin. You have a Drew McIntyre that you could throw in this division right now. Ricochet, if you wanted to throw Apollo Crews back in there from Raw. I don't know why they traded him to begin with. Xavier Woods as King of the Ring or Kofi, one of the two there. Yeah. All right. You have plenty of people that you could build an IC division with. I don't understand why they're not doing it. They're just putting the title on somebody, and it's like, all right, there you go. You're the champion. And I hate that they do that because there's quality guys that could cut promos, build storylines with, and have fantastic matches and bring that title back to where it is. I wish that these are the times where, like, as a fan of the business, you're like, dude, you know, you have fantasy booking from your couch. Like, dude, I wish I could work for the company. I have so many great ideas. You know, I sit on my couch all the time, and I'm like, dude, if they just did X, Y, Z, and I'll text you or I'll text somebody else and be like, yo, if they just did this IC title would be fucking dope. But then again, you know, we don't work in the business. We don't know. We don't know what people are looking at or numbers or anything like that. You know, how do we know that stuff? This used to be the best, in my opinion. It's my favorite title of all time because of that stuff. And it's really, really faltered recently. And where do we go to get it back? And I get it. Yes, releases too. But you still got guys that you're not using. Like, what are we doing? Why is Apollo Crews dropping out to Omos every week, man? You should throw him back on SmackDown and he should be fighting for the IC title that he lost. Like, I don't get it. You know? I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, Ricochet is yet to have an opponent at WrestleMania. So we'll see what they do with it. But I hope that we go back to the Intercontinental Championship meaning something again. But yeah, so there you go. First round is over. The second round is set, but that will be
tons of fun.
The next
tons
time. Of fun.
I got to throw something out to you though, real quick before we wrap it up here. Real quick question.
Yeah.
What is your opinion on Adam Cole in AEW? Before you answer anything right now, I preface it with this. A lot of people do not like his run in AEW whatsoever. They have been very, very critical of how they used him. Very critical of the fact that he lost to Orange Cassidy in the match and immediately he's the number one contender for the world title. Then he loses that world title match and that he's still in the feud with Adam Page. By the way, that wins and loss bullshit is bullshit. I'm sorry. They need to just drop it already. How are the Dark Order, the number one rated, they've been the number one ranked tag team for a few months, but they haven't won a match all year, and then they just lost a match to Jericho Appreciation Society. Okay, but that's not that here or there. If you're the number one contender and you just lost a match, you should be knocked down to probably number two. But Adam Cole's still in this feud. People have been very, very critical of how Adam Cole has been used in AEW since he's debuted. Where do you fall?
So, I love Adam Cole. I think Adam Cole is the next AEW champion. I think that people seeing that and not being happy with it, the AEW fans are very fickle, and I think they probably complain about everybody on the roster as far as how they're being used, but it's a perfect example of Adam Cole losing to become number one contender when they do like this win-loss record shit. It makes even a casual wrestling fan realize that there is nobody driving the truck here. There's nobody driving, steering the boat.
Oh, there's one guy. That's it. That's the problem, I think.
Well, that one guy is the problem because he doesn't know what he's doing. They don't have a booker. They don't have agents for the matches. They don't have that. They literally flying at the seat of their pants. And Tony Khan, because he is so hands off really on what these guys are doing, there's no direction to anything that's happening, in my opinion. That's what I see. I think Adam Cole, when he went there, he was immediately just another guy on the roster. I think right now I see him beating Adam Page for the AEW title. But then again, he might not. I mean, yeah, I think everything AEW does is just questionable. And I texted you yesterday and I said AEW is becoming repetitive because every week we're seeing the same things over and over again now. Mm. How many times are we going to see CM Punk just come out and cut a promo and then leave?
Yeah, or challenge the next person to leave.
Right.
Right.
How many times are now Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley going to have a match, a tag team match, only to square off with each other, and then William Regal gets in the middle of them. It's like, oh, wait, you can be a great team. It's like, just get to where you're going already.
I do like what they're doing right now. Do you hear the name of the faction? I dig it. I fucking dig it. I really like it.
What is it?
They're calling themselves the Blackpool Combat Club because Blackpool, where Regal is from. I love it, by the way. I think I like where they're going in terms of a team. The fact that they want to start bringing on younger talent. So you saw Wheeler Yuta trying to join them. And then Julia Hart from the Varsity Blonde seems like she's like on the fence. They want to build people and bring them up with them. But, you know, John Moxley, excuse me, we just mentioned Dean Ambrose on this thing. John Moxley, I mentioned, like, you know, this is something you have to earn. We're not going to let you in. I like where they're going with that. I do. I'm not going to lie. But, yeah, for me, the Adam Cole thing is like you lose a match to Orange Cassidy, and then it's like now you're fighting for the world title. So wins and losses don't mean jack shit here.
Right.
So don't show me a win-loss record every week if you're not going to go by that. You know, right. Thunder Rosa lost to Britt Baker, but then on Dynamite is having a title eliminator match against Layla Hirsch to get back to the world title, not even a week later.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like she's not even built back up to get back to that title. And then she wins it, and the match was mediocre. But And I love Thunder Rosa, and I really like Britt Baker too. But I think it's like, don't tell me that wins and losses matter when they don't.
No, they don't. You know? That whole, whatever they were trying to do with that win-loss stuff, they clearly don't care about it and forgot it, or forgot about it very quickly, because it doesn't mean anything. And
it means fuck all. Honestly. Yeah,
I just think they need an experienced booker, but I do think Adam Cole is the next champion.
You do? That's crazy. I didn't see it that way, but at the same time, a lot of people are also calling, a lot of critics are calling Adam Page's world title run a failure. But again, I feel like he kind of just got it. It's not fairly new, but it's still kind of fresh as opposed to where you see how long Kenny Omega had it. But people are already saying that they're not doing enough for Adam Page as the world champion. So if they took the belt off him, I could.
I mean, he did just come out of a feud with Bryan Danielson and beat him.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't think I agree with that, saying that it's a failure. I think that they just need stronger direction in their storylines.
I think they need more structure. Like, listen, if you want one guy to book the whole thing like Tony Khan, fine. But he should have people that he bounces ideas off, and they're like, maybe he does. I don't know. Maybe they're just yes men. They'd be like, this is cool, this is not cool. I know they don't have producers. They have quote-unquote coaches, right? But those people should be seen between, you know, and giving feedback too on certain people, certain matches. You know, what happened to Ruby Soho? Ruby Soho was supposed to be coming in and being a game changer. I see her on Dark. I haven't seen her on Dynamite in a few weeks. Keith Lee, Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal's doing Ring of Honor. They're doing another card for Ring of Honor. He's going back over there.
Jay Lethal wrestled on Dynamite
this and week lost.
And lost to Adam Cole. Right. Yeah.
So that's what, two losses for him now on mainstream television?
I think so.
Since he's debuted. You know, like there's all these guys that they're bringing in constantly, and it's like now they're quickly forgotten. You know, this is, you know, crazy. But then you still carve out time for old ass Dan Lambert to fucking cut a stupid ass promo. and it's not to say that he's not successful and he's pretty good at it, because he is. But Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky could cut their own promos. They're good guys.
Yeah.
I don't need Dan Lambert to talk for them. A Paige Van Zandt, maybe, because maybe Paige Van Zandt is unproven. But I don't need you for those guys. You know, I don't know. There's so many things. Not everything they do is perfect, and I'm tired of the.
It's not even close. That
everything they do is good. You know, that's a problem.
It's not even close to perfect. It's a nice alternative. It's good to see these guys on another wrestling program if they're not going to be in WWE. But it's not always a good product, AEW. It's not consistently good.
It's not everything they do is better than WWE, which I can't stand. And don't get me wrong, not everything WWE does is perfect either, at all. But don't make it seem like, oh, there's this better show on Wednesdays that do so much better. It's like, no, it doesn't. Everything that you've done to try to move the needle hasn't moved the needle. Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, any other guy that you've signed that you quote-unquote is going to be a game changer hasn't done that. And the minute you realize that wrestling is not where it was during the Attitude Era, because WWE, you know, they do million, 2 million, but it's not where it was for the Attitude Era either, the sooner you know that, the better. As soon as you realize you're a good alternative and just make yourself a good alternative and stop taking fucking shots at WWE every chance you get, you'll probably be a better company for it. I'll just say that.
And Tony Khan needs to stop acting like he is the savior for the wrestling fans.
Yeah, but he's believing his own hype. Everybody, fucking Dave Meltzer and all these dirt sheets are like, Booker of the Year. He's doing great. He's believing his own hype now at this point.
The guy comes out every week and cuts a promo about who he signed, you know, what he's doing at Ring of Honor. I don't know. It doesn't – I'm not a big fan of it. I watch AEW. I enjoy AEW, but they got a lot of work to do.
I don't watch it every week, admittedly. I do. I watch highlights. I catch. I do. I like last week for the cage match with Rosa and Baker, I sat down and watched the whole episode. But it's very rare that I will sit down and watch a whole episode. There's certain guys I like to watch. There's certain guys I wish they would feature more. Like, dude, I love Ricky Starks. I wish they would feature him more. Like, you know, like guys like that is what gets you over the top. Guys that you get, have never been featured in WWE before, you know, guys like, I'm not a huge Wardlow guy, but Wardlow seems like he's money. You should be, you know, he's in that feud with MJF. I think they should keep him where he is and just keep that feud building. But, you know, the constant signings and then acting like it's these huge signings, the Big Shows, the Christians. Have you seen Big Show recently? Have you seen Paul White?
No.
Have you seen Christian besides the Jurassic Express whole thing? When's the last match he actually wrestled? You know, that's the problem. And we're quick to point out how flawed WWE is. And we're not going to point out how the fact that I haven't seen Christian wrestle in forever. Paul White still regulated to dark. Mark Henry barely does Rampage now. He just interviews the main event or whatever. Yeah. It's like I get it. But, you know, focus on being a better company and focus on featuring those guys. FTR is a great tag team, and FDR has admitted that they're not happy with their run in AEW either. So let's just call a spade a spade. The shit that goes on there is not perfect. The shit that goes on WWE is not perfect. But let's stop acting like they're better just because their name doesn't include the words WWE. That's where it is. I said what I said.
Yep.
It is what it is.
At Wrestling Guys on Twitter.
Come at us. Come at us right now. Let's have a debate.
Ricky Starks is actually going to be on Rampage defending the FTW title against Swerve Strickland.
I love Isaiah Swerve Scott. Yep. Said what I said. That's it. Should have never been released. Hit Row should have never been released. That's a big mistake on WWE's part. I hope AEW does something with him. He could cut a good ass promo. That heel persona he has right now, he developed in NXT. Okay. It was a mistake on WWE's part. I hope they do something with him. And after this match, whoever wins, and I bet you it's a fucking awesome match between the two of them. I hope one of them doesn't get relegated in a week or two to doing dark and then we don't see them for weeks. I really hope so. I really do. Because both of those guys deserve to be highlighted.
This is the first time Ricky Starks has wrestled on either Dynamite or Rampage in how long?
I couldn't tell you. I'd be a fraud if I try to guess. I gotta be honest with you. He should be a guy. Dean Malenko has praised Ricky Starks. Mm-hmm. Dean Malenko. That's a guy you should be building slowly to get to your top level. Not right away. Slowly. You got the FTW thing going on right now. Keep it going. You know, you have this group of young talent that are future superstars. Keep it going.
Did Ricky Starks even wrestle at the last pay-per-view?
No.
No.
Not at all. And where is Hook been? Send Hook. Where's he been? You know what I'm saying? When you have so many, and Eric Bischoff said it best, you have so many guys that signed on the contract, now you got to find TV time for them. Where are you going to find it? And people are going to start the backlash.
Yep. No, some already have.
Where's Keith Lee been? Sign him as a big thing. Where's Keith Lee been? And I'm one of those proponents to say, give it time. But when you have all these people like, oh my God, they signed AEW. That's it. He's bigger than he's ever was in WWE. Like, no, he's not. Talk to me in a couple months and see what happens. What's going on with Christian over there? Because Christian could be doing what he's doing there in WWE. Mm-hmm. Exactly what he's doing right now. He hasn't done anything besides the match with Kenny Omega, the feud with Omega that got him the Impact title. Okay, I'll give him that. What has he done? He was better off probably staying with WWE and signing. He probably would have had a significant feud. He'd probably have a Mania match right now with Edge. Edge versus Christian.
Yeah, maybe.
Never know. Just saying. But, whatever. Remains to be seen. We could fantasy book from our fucking couches all day. Whatever. Okay. Rant over for me. I'm sorry. The thing for me, I don't know about you. You know, I go on Twitter semi-regularly, not every day, but, and then you see these like tweets. I follow all the companies, but like you see these tweets about, you know, especially guys like Meltzer praise AEW and these other fans who praise AEW. And then you see these other people who are like anti-AEW, which they go a little bit too hard, but they could do no wrong. And right. I've met fans like that. And I'm like, nah, man. You know, but anyway, I digress. I think it's a good time to call it a night here. We did great. We got round one in the books, round two coming up. We got WrestleMania coming up. We got so many things that are happening. It's good to be back. getting on the semi-regular Scott Hall episode, also the Where the Hell Have We Been episode, as I titled it, up and running. Look out for this new one right now. Greatest IC Championship. Do you disagree? Do you agree? At Wrestling Guys PC. Pull the receipts. Tell us we were wrong. Tell us we were right. Where do you feel Adam Cole is in AEW? Pull the receipts. Let's go. All of this and more. At Wrestling Guys PC. Opinions, questions. You can find this podcast where you find all of your wrestling podcasts. Matter of fact, if you look up Wrestling Guys PC like I did right now on Apple iTunes Podcast, we're the third selection.
Wow.
Look that up. Hit that button. Hit that like. Hit that subscribe. Leave us a five-star review if you like what you're hearing right now. That's what I want to hear. At Fans Perspective, what we got going over there? We got anything new going on?
Our last episode, I mentioned it in our last episode. We, Fans Perspective, talked about Scream, the new Scream movie, Scream 5, Scream 2022, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
We are going to be recording again soon, and I think we're going to be discussing Spider-Man No Way Home because our co-host Dan has finally seen it.
Yo, Dan, what's
and,
up,
and, bro? And wants to talk about it. He's not going to the movies right now, so he's waiting for all these things to come on streaming.
Is he keeping it COVID safe? I respect that. It's fine.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, but me, I've been to the movies a bunch of times.
As a vibe. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so be on the lookout. Fans Perspective will be dropping a new episode very soon.
And we I would love to listen to that Spider-Man episode. It sounds great. You got that horror movie retrospective he did right through the decades. That was just fantastic. Listen to that now. Also, where you could all find every one of your podcasts. Look that up. Fans Perspective Podcast. I'm Wrestling Guys PC. Are we wrong? Are we in the right? You know where to find us, and come fight us because we're ready. All right, I'm always down for a debate. AEW fans, come at us. I am ready for a debate. We will have you on the show. That's what I'm talking about. But with that being said, in the meantime, in between time, there's been a Wrestling Guys podcast. We're gonna talk about wrestling, drinks and beers. We're just about all out of beers. Mask mandate's over in New York, but you know what I'm gonna say, still wash your damn hands because it's good hygiene. Don't be a filthy MF-er. Love you. Clink the ring. Feel safe. Stay safe out there. We love y'all. Take care. Have a good night.
And I'm gonna leave you with this, AEW fans. Cody Rhodes left AEW. Who's the next one to do it? I say it's Kenny Omega. And with that, I'm signing off.
Oh snap.